For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. We're back, baby. Round 14 of the recap from the ATL, baby, the Dirty South. They done moved it from the Georgia Dome out to the Speedway Effect. Tell you one thing, I wish I would have been able to ride on this track. The track looks fun, really fun, very flowy, a lot different than a normal Supercross track, but nonetheless, the same guys were doing the same thing, just going a little bit faster. And El Hambre, E.T., Chase Sexton, Mookie Fever, all those guys, Bam Bam Barsha, all of them was up here. So let's go figure it out, baby. Let's figure out who gets it done. Round 14, Monster Energy Supercross. Let's go check it out, baby, from the ATL. Now, this is different. This track is completely different than even Daytona. Daytona's a speedway track, but this one has the normal, the good Atlanta dirt, that fun, that red Georgia clay. The track was a little wet from the rain, so it made it a little bit more trickier than normal. And kind of like some of the East Coast tracks have been this year, like I feel like it gets really slippery, you know, even though when it gets the ruts in there, it gets really shiny. But this weekend's track, from the rain, it got slippery, but the ruts wasn't super hard, so it didn't make it kind of sketchy like some of these other ones, like Indy and Dallas. But overall, I thought the track was really looked like a fun layout. I thought the racing was really good. They had the sand section that was split. It ended up being pretty good too. So I felt like it would have been a JS track. I thought there were some quads that could have been done, but you know, these guys, they kept it. It's round 14. You know, they're just trying to get out of it. You got ET doing his thing. So nonetheless, I thought it was really flowy. And from press day, I saw Chase Sexton riding. I thought from the last year, knowing how much he liked it, the way the Atlanta tracks, because they did three rounds last year, how much he liked it, that feel, it was some of the 180s just back and forth, but it had a lot of sections that was really just flowing. So if you can keep your momentum going up, which he does a really good job at doing, it was his type of track. So when I watched him in press day, I thought how I felt. In Seattle, when I watched Eli, I'm like, all right, he's going to win this thing, unless he does what he ended up doing and falling over. But so was El Hambre getting it done. And let's figure out how he did it. One of the biggest talking points this weekend was the layout of the track. And I think when you have this much space, this much room on the track, you're able to create some different obstacles, some bigger jumps than, you know, in a normal traditional Supercross track or baseball or even football stadiums. And Dirtworks, they were feeling froggy this weekend. They had some big old monsters. One of the talking points was the one after the mechanics there, they had that one, and it was a triple if you watch press day. And if you watch press day, there were some guys going 2 3/4. Some of them went 3.5, you know, over jumping it. And then we had poor Hunter Lawrence, man, he came up short. He went 2 3/4, came up short and went over the handlebars. And it was big. It was big. And what makes those jumps scary is like the way it came out from the mechanics area, the way it came out that corner, all you saw was a big old lip. So unlike if you were going straight into it where you had a rhythm section or jumps before, you can kind of visually see the landing and kind of get a depth perception of if you were up in the air before, where coming out of a corner, it's like it's all nothing. All you see is a wall. And you saw guys doing press day coming out the corner like, yeah, and then like, I'm going to think better of it. And what you notice was the guys that was in the points, like up in there, you know, Jason, Eli, even Smooth Criminal Bogle, which is a jumper. Some of those guys obviously didn't like it, but some of them was actually just going around it. And then if you watch like the privateers, probably the guys that was fighting a few weekends ago, they came out the corner, they was busting whips and stuff. And to me, it was just like how I would have felt. I would have felt more like Bogle and Eli. I would have been frustrated. Oh, man, this is stupid. Yeah, we spoke about super crowds. I want these big old freestyle jumps. Because believe it or not, people, I'm going to let you on the inside secret. JS hated triples. I hated doubling a triple. I'd rather just quad the thing or triple in it. So my biggest fear on the racetrack was tripling things. And that was a big old monster triple. It wasn't the length. It was the fact that, like, I felt like on the triple, if you didn't just jump the whole triple, when you tried doubling it, there was such a timing in between it. And I think, like, I was scared of him because I was afraid of over jumping a double and landing in the face of the triple. So I hated doing them. They always scared me. Part of the reason was some of the triples that I knew, if you came out the corner, you had to like judge it. That I was afraid of those compared to coming out of the corners and you just had to either go inside or go outside and just stay on the gas. You could just like flow up the face, but I hated triples because I had to double it. And plus, if you remember back in 2003, where I got when night time in Vegas, they had the same kind of setup.
And he goes, "Oh, I got to get back up there." And his speed is so incredible. Oh, and James Stewart has just launched off his bike.
It was a finish line jump, and it was a big old triple. And I ended up going to sleep over, you know, that thing. And I didn't crash off the triple part. I crashed off the double afterwards. But nonetheless, it was the whole fact of, it's, you got to time the thing. So a lot of these guys with this one, they wasn't afraid that it was too big. What they were afraid of is like you couldn't come out the corner and just stay on the gas and go up, which makes it difficult because now you got to judge it. You can either over jump that thing, or if you under jumped it, the way they had the thing set up, it was really sharp. So I was afraid of it from watching it. Clearly they were afraid of it too. But then you had the privateers coming out, busting like knack-knacks and whipping it over. And then you had the, you know, some of these other guys come out. Chiz did it too. He was like, went around the track, pretend like he's looking at jump, whatnots. But overall, they fixed it. And I'm glad they did because a lot of guys would have went down. So what they did was actually combine those two, you know, the middle jump and the landing together. So it made it like a big old, like almost like a tabletop rolled off landing. And that was good. So I don't think they made it any shorter. I think they just filled in between the second and third one, and that made a world of a difference. But the way the track was, it was like you had that big old triple jump, and then you went straight into the sand section. So I thought the track was fun. I thought it was pretty good. I know they made some changes after press day, but El Hombre was the only guy I seen after that sand section, the one after this big jump we were just talking about, go 3-4. Into the whoop section, and that was really fast. But on these type of tracks, they had three of them last year. Chase Rod's really good on those types where the track, when you can have a track that flows, you know, really good, where you, it's kind of a nonstop. I would say some of the tighter tracks, he's good at it, obviously, but I think he rides better on tracks that has rhythm sections and some of the corners that you can just kind of stand up and flow through it. And this track, from last year, he almost won this race. I think it set up very well for him. And I picked him to win. The way he looked, I felt like this was money. And especially with Eli, you know, I felt like he was going to go in conservative mode after watching him in press day, him like not going, nah, daddy need diapers on this big old triple. I was like, all right, he's not really into it unless it comes to him. And I thought Chase and possibly Malcolm and somebody else could step up at the end of the part of the season with only three races left. I think they can come in and try to steal it just from their mindset of trying to close it off. And so when Chase was out front, the reason I wasn't a guaranteed pick was because of what happened. And his thing has been all year, he's been leading races, and it's been kind of a trickle effect, I guess, with him. You know, he's out front leading races, and then, you know, he just falls over or it has a big crash. And this right here, he just goes in there, he's standing up, and he just loses the front end. So There's really nothing to it besides, I mean, we can get into depth of like what happened, but what happened is he ended up on the ground. And I know that's frustrating for him. And I know everybody else are like, yeah, because if he didn't crash, he was going to win. And, you know, he just inherited lead to El Hombre, and El Hombre showed everybody the gun, and he was like, I ain't giving it up. So certain guys, you just feel like there's always a chance, no matter they're out front, there's always a chance until he figures this part out. Those guys are still going to continue racing with him because you just never know. And but when El Hombre is out front, or ET, you just kind of know they're going to, you know, they're just going to finish it off because they've been there, done that. And it's not a knock. It's just they've been here a little bit longer. So Jason wrote really well. I thought it was interesting in the heat race. Eli was faster. I would believe Eli was, if he wanted to, he can outrun all these guys still. He showed me something in the heat race that I think, like, told you his whole mindset. And it was good to see, because normally when Eli gets in a situation, he comes up, he passes El Hombre. And back in the day when El Hombre would get him back, Eli, it would fluster him. Well, he passes El Hombre. El Hombre goes in. Eli, like, sacks up again and comes back at them. And he almost killed himself for making a mistake. But that, to me, was the difference between Eli this year and Eli in the past. Like, he believes in everything else that's going on, and he's fighting those guys. And he made a mistake, and he backed off, and he thought well of it, because Jason was like, and he didn't want no part of it. But I saw a fight in him. But then I also saw, like, when he swapped after that mechanics there, little Johnny came to his mind. He thought about a championship, and he was like, oh Lord, I know it's Easter Sunday, but I don't want to be having to repent today. Please save me. And whoo, he was like, dude, I'm done. I was just kidding. And he backed it off, and El Hombre got the victory. But it showed me a lot about him. He was fighting, and that was the difference from this year from the past. If you're a fan, when you turn on the TV, what you notice is that they riding outside, but that ain't different. The fact is, they're watching the Supercross track that's on Barry Bonds. What is Barry Bonds? It's on steroids. Everything's bigger. Just all of a sudden got swollen up. You're racing in St. Louis last weekend, and then the track just blew up like it's big. And it looked fun. There were some big old jumps out there. You know, it's fun as a fan watching it. But, you know, some of these guys, they don't like all that stuff. But the track was definitely... it's unique. It's not even like Daytona, because Daytona is where I believe you have to set your bike up different. You know, you have to kind of soften it up. You got, you know, potholes. It's at night. Sometimes you can't see. Where this track, it's just a big old Supercross track just laid out across, you know, NASCAR floors. So you didn't have to set your bike up any different, because it was technically still a Supercross track. You couldn't, you know, how big it was, you wouldn't set it up as outdoor. Where Daytona, you would set your bike up a little bit different, even though people would think you have to, like, a motocross setup. Nah, those things, you got those potholes and all that stuff. So Daytona, you just got to, like, open it up and kind of get a little bit of double D effect, you know, just soften the thing up a little bit. Where here, you know, you just keep a traditional Supercross. And, you know, again, I think the way the track was, how wide it was, it took a lot of the suspension setup out of it. And what I mean by, you didn't have the gnarly braking bumps going into corners. You didn't have the, you know, even though the whoops got broken down a little bit, some of these tracks, the Supercross tracks, you have to set your bike up, not only for the obstacles, but the things in between, like even going across the start straight, coming into the corners, you have to set up to try to get a little bit of plushness or stiffen it up, because, you know, the track smaller, it breaks down more. Where this track, it was so wide, it had so much room that I think just in general, how stiff you like your bike, how your normal Supercross setup was, it took out setting the bike up being really important compared to some of these other tracks. And I think if you saw, you know, some of the bikes going under the whoop sections, they all kind of looked the same. There was really no difference besides some guys were going faster, some guys were going slower. So, the bike setup was the same on this track. I thought overall, again, there could have been some quads and some things done here and there, but it didn't need to be. Like, I think if you had a good rhythm, and Chase was doing a really good job after that big old triple after mechanics there, from the sand section, from the exit of the sand section all the way up into the finish line, he was clearly the fastest one, because he was hitting that tunnel jump and he was just launching out. over it after the whoop section where the other guys were kind of downsiding or they were launching a little bit, but Chase was actually jumping it. And it looked like to me, they must have buried something underneath that flat part because there was a little, like a little knoll, a little roller, and Chase was getting over that and he was making up so much time right there. And what that allowed him to do was carry the momentum all the way through. You know, he wasn't really breaking after the whoops. He was just flowing all the way through. And when you look at the whole track, that's why he looked so good on it. So I thought the track setup was fantastic. It looked fun. But nonetheless, he was out there riding with no visor on and he ended up third place behind the toe smacking El Hombre. Still got it done. So when Justin crashed, he crashed in that 90 degree corner and that happens. I mean, that happened. That happens in a normal supercross track. What it is that it's a 90 degree, but the way that corner was set up, he was coming basically off a start straight, a flat area. And it was like the corner, instead of being 90 degree, it was like 80 degrees. And so it was hard to get in that corner correct. One, because you can't hit the rear brakes on that. So you're all leaned in on the front tire using the front brakes. And the way that corner was, it was almost like they were trying they shaved it off. So when it rained, all the water like ran off onto it. So when they came into it, there was like a little like sharp, I guess, knuckle on there where the berm just started. And Barcia just comes in there. He can't hit the rear brake. He hits the front brakes and just loses it. So that happened. That happens at every supercross track. I felt like that in 2014 at Atlanta. Same thing coming into it after the mechanics there hit the front brakes. I was down. And it's partly because the way the corner is, it doesn't like some bowl corners and some 90s. When you get into it, almost like the corner grabs you and you feel like you're stuck to the corner. And some corners you get into it, like this one, it's actually like a somewhat off camber where the beginning part of the berm isn't it doesn't grab you. It's almost like the front end wants to push away. And that's why you watch a lot of these guys when they went in that corner right there, they were really, really slow in the entry part of that. They wanted to make sure they would get set up. And you see some guys go into it and they would go to turn and all of a sudden you see them standing up and then waiting and then getting back into it. And that was what they were trying to avoid, what happened with Barcia. It's the way that corner was set up and all that. Like they were just losing the front end, almost like a little off camber effect. Or where Chase crashed, Chase loses the front end, you know, because of setup or because of technique. He goes in there. I think a part of it was a lot of guys, when they were hitting the brakes off that sand, they were bringing some of that sand into the entry of that corner. And from rain, all that, it was kind of slippery where they were ended up between the sand section and that corner. It was actually slippery and kind of muddy there. So when Chase went in there, he just lost the front end on there. That could have been avoided from, you know, he could have changed that. Wasn't necessarily the way the track was. He just made a mistake. You know, we all do it. So I think Chase's crash and Barcia's crash were completely different crashes, even though they fell over kind of technically the same way. You know, Chase just lost the front end, made a mistake. Barcia did the same thing. He made a mistake. It was his fault because he fell. He's the one riding it. But everybody struggled in that corner. And a part of that was the way that corner, that 90 degree was set up. And, you know, that was kind of on him. What he did in the whoop section, that was just bam, bam style. He just lost it. Yeah, I mean, they were just swap. You know, he was coming in there. He just started losing back and forth. And he ends up saving it. But he ends up going off. And I felt like the only difference was the only part of the track that was really pertained to bike setup was that whoop section. And I felt like anybody, Eli's bike, even though he has some gnarly swaps through there, if you watch Eli's bike, I've been saying it all year, you can just see when his bike swaps, it's not violent. There's not violent. That when he hit the mechanics area and he had that big old swap in the mechanics in the heat race, even that was not violent. I mean, it was crazy. But then you watch Marvin, when he did it, he was on there. The French guy was down. Felt bad for him. He was thrown on there. A lot of guys end up doing that. And I think in the whoop section, Eli, they had it head on. Eli bikes go side to side swaps, but he's not reacting in a scared manner. He's reacting to try to just save it, but he's not like, oh, like crap, where Barcia was like, he couldn't do anything. He was just holding on. There's that one point where Barcia is like basically like leaning off the side of the bike, and And it's not that he doesn't know how to do it. It's not like he, technique problem. It's just the fact that he feels like he has to have a big movement compared to where Eli can move just a little bit and the bike reacts to that. Justin feels like he has to move a lot to get his bike to react. And if it doesn't react the way he wants, then it's like he puts himself in a world of hurt. And that's what you saw. It comes in there, starts swapping. And then like each movement, he just got a little bit farther to the right, a little bit farther to the left. And then the thing didn't correct itself. And then at the end of the whoop section, he's like halfway sideways. He's going off the track. Now, if you watch Eli, he has the same thing. He gets in there, the bike starts swapping. But when he moves right to left and he's doing his thing, the bike reacts the way he wants it to. And that's just part of testament and setup. But it's like he does it and he's like, okay, the thing does what I want. So now I can just bring it back in line. Where when Barcia does it, it doesn't react and it just continues to still go that far. So you see him getting farther right, farther left, and it never comes back until he's sideways going off the track, about to run over one of the Dirt Works guys. And those are the things that you can see when you, if you watch this, people, when you're watching the race, those are the things that you should look for on bike setups. Those are the things that when you're like, huh, why is this guy struggling? You can really see it in the whoop sections and some of the parts. Watch how their body reacts to those things, how much they have to move when the bike gets sideways, how much are they going back and left and right. And throughout the year, when I say like, Eli feels really comfortable and Jason feels comfortable, or even Malcolm, the Huskies, at some tracks, they look better than others. When they're comfortable, you can always tell by the way when their bike goes sideways, how they're reacting on there. And nobody has a perfect bike setup. Eli's bike's not perfect. But what it is, when he does something, it reacts. It's doing what he thinks is going to do when he moves. When he moves, he's expecting it to counteract whatever's happening. And that's what he's having the luxury of this year, of doing those type of things. So watch the race, people. Watch the whoop section. Watch some of the things where they're struggling. And just pay attention to those things, the body movements of these guys. And that's where you can really see it. So NBC, those guys did a good job at pointing these things out so I can point it out to you guys, highlighting it. And there you go. You got Justin, you got Eli. And that's where you can tell part of the bike setups. That was the only section where I felt like the bike setup really came into it. And I think the KTMs, although they've gotten better, KTMs, Huskies, and the Gas, they struggled in that part. And, you saw Malcolm get passed in the whoops, and, Barcia has those issues. Cooper, his weakest part of the race was in the whoops. And again, bike's not bad. It's gotten better. But when you compare that to Jason's bike and Eli's bike, that was the only part of the track where visually I could see there's a difference. Like they're struggling and those guys are a little bit just more committed to it. So besides that, I think that's why Cooper rode good this weekend. The track didn't lean itself to the bike being holding you back or anything like that. And, it was good to see the champ back and he was happy to get third or fourth, whatever he ended up fourth. But nonetheless,
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cooper wants more, and we'll see what happens. My personal opinion, he won't win the race this year. I thought like his best shot was this weekend, and I didn't even know he was racing until I saw him racing. But it was good to have him back. But I, you know, he's still a champ. You never know. But I think his best shot to win was this weekend. I think the regular Supercross tracks, I think he's just ready to go wherever the hell he's going to go. Vacation, MX Sports, outdoors. I don't know what he's going to do. You know, when I'm watching Cooper race this track, he was fast because of the way he rides and his craftsman, like what makes him champion. He's really well at, you know, making the best out of whatever situation he's in. And Cooper's really good in these 90 degree corners because he stays low. And what Cooper was doing better than anybody was from when he landed off that little tunnel jump before the finish line. If you see the way his lines were, the way he landed off that tunnel jump, kind of stayed to the inside. And if he stayed to the inside, it put him on the outside so he can get to the inside off the finish line. What he was doing was setting up from the tunnel jump. He was setting up there, which allowed him to set up better for the finish line jump, which allowed him to set up better for that. Once he landed off the finish line jump, hit that double, he was squaring up, staying low, squaring up, and staying back on the inside, coming down that start straight. So where other guys were landing off the finish line jump, charging into that double, and railing that berm, Cooper was actually charging into that double, landing off the, and then basically squaring up for that corner and hugging the inside, which set him up better to have a better angle going down that start straight where Barshit fell. So if you look at his line selections from the tunnel jump to basically where Barshit fell at, Cooper was doing an amazing job at lining that whole part up. And that's where Cooper's really well at. Sometimes he's not the fastest guy, but when he puts in sections like that, I think there was a part of the race where Eli was behind him. Just look at the line difference between where Eli is and where Cooper was. And Cooper was making up so much time there, which was allowing maybe where he wasn't as fast in the whoop section or some of the other parts of the track, Eli would have to run him down from all the time that he lost, you know, in that 30 seconds or 20 seconds. He had to make up all that time right there. And it was just a line selection of what Cooper was trying to do. And Cole is coughing in all this setup.
I was holding it for so long.
If I'm talking, you hear this.
I was holding that one for so long.
I know. He's like, yeah, I felt that coming. And sorry, people, you're just going to have to keep it like what it is. I ain't redoing it. I was on it. You know, I think like where Chase is, even in the regular Supercross, where he's really good at is like the flowing stuff. Like he's good in rhythm sections. Like he uses those long legs, and in the heat race and in the early part of the main event, you can just see the speed difference that he had in the rhythm sections. He was jumping the same thing those guys were doing, but he was able to, you know, use his legs to soak up that part. And he was just staying lower and he was going forward. And if you watch the guys, you know, around him, you know, just watch whoever was around him at that time, you can just see him. He's like, you know, a few inches lower, but he's moving forward. And we worked on this stuff last year. It was like, you know, not going up, going through, like you want to go forward. And, you know, especially when you're in a track where everybody's jumping the same thing, you got to figure out a way to go faster by doing the same thing they're doing. And that's when I eventually came up to Bubba Scrub, was a way to, all right, I got to figure out how to make time up, you know, besides having to always be on the ground, gassing it, going harder into something, jumping something different. I want to be able to figure out how to make time up in the air where when I started at that point, nobody was really doing that. And I think Chase is really good at, you know, doing that part, just using his legs and you know, using that as another suspension part of his body. And he does that really well in rhythm sections. In some parts, he does some awkward things. And it's like you don't use your legs. But in this case, I think the way this track was, he was able to do that more often. So overall, I believe Eli's in a situation where, you know, he feels like, okay, this points lead is big. I believe like the last few weekends he's been, if the race is there, he'll take it. But otherwise he ain't taking no unnecessary chances. You know, I think there's a few people that he probably won't race with
For instance, like Jason, I think he raced Jason in the heat race. And I'm only speculating for what I would do if I'm in his situation. I would race Jason hard in the heat race and try to pass him. And knowing that the only way I can lose this title, if this guy takes me out, and this guy is probably going to take me out because he knows that's the only way he can win this title. And I should expect it because he's aggressive, not dirty, just aggressive. And so I know in the heat race, there was at some point where if I'm Jason, I'm surprised Eli's riding me this hard. Knowing that when Eli passed Jason right before the whoop section, Jason comes in hot. You know, he lets him know like, hey, you know, like I'm coming in, I'll take you out. And Eli stays in it. You know, he stays in it. He put up a lot of fight. And then you would think, okay, he's got this big old points lead. It's a heat race. He's going to back off. Eli comes back, and that's when he had the big old swap after the mechanics area, right before the mechanics area, that he really backed it down. And that, to me, was Eli, like, flexing a little bit on these guys. Like, flexing, like, I ain't going nowhere. And I want you to know, like, I'm not here to just roll over. And I'm not just going to coast this thing out, which is exactly what he did. And what he should do at this point. But right here, Jason comes in and he's like, yeah, like coming in. And Eli's still like, he's on it. Jason could have made it worse for him. And I think maybe if it was main event last lap, he would have went a little bit farther, you know, outside to cut Eli off. But I think those are the things that as a racer and you're racing those guys. And if I was racing Eli, those are the things I would notice that was different. Because in the past, he would back off and that would be the end of that. You know, he wouldn't fight me. But Eli's here to fight. And it's been like that all year. And I think he was showing those guys, you know, in a situation where if something happened, he wasn't throwing away points, which is smart by him. So in the heat race, he went up and he bow flexed up against Jason. He was letting him know that I'm still the best. You ain't just going to roll over. I'm not quitting on this thing. But if that was a main event, he wouldn't have done that. Because even in the main event, he rode different. He rode very conservative. You know, when the pass came to him, he took it. But he wouldn't have raced Jason like that in the main event. And I think that was a part of the new Eli and just letting those guys know that no matter if you win this race or not, I still got you. And that's what I saw. So with Eli in his mindset of like, look, the only way I can lose this thing is if I decide to lose this thing, I throw it away. So when that happens, you allow other opportunities. You allow other people to get a little tan. And we missed last weekend where the Frenchman, Marvin Mousquin, whatever, congratulations, you got a neck burn last weekend. But this weekend, El Hombre was back. We saw it. Now, I think El Hombre, he was missing the triple, that big old triple in the press day. He was going around it. He was not happy, people. I think he might have threatened to shoot all y'all out if y'all don't change this thing. But he came out, he won the heat race against the champ. Now, I wouldn't even say he was the fastest person, because he wasn't. He wasn't the fastest person. He wasn't even the fastest person in the main event. But he was the person to get to the checkered flag, the fastest. And that's all that matters. And when it was rainy, cloudy, in the ATL, in the dirty south, you know what he wanted, people. He wanted that neck burn. Hit it with it, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Jason. Congratulations. That neck was on fire. And boy, I know you missed that. I know you missed that. Looking to slide around after that, trying to do a burnout. Couldn't even do the burnout, right? Because it was wet. But nonetheless, nobody cared. Nobody cared. Got that old school looking gear on there. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm from New Mexico, Colorado, wherever. I'm here, but I'm doing my donuts and I'm doing this. And he won. That's so cool. I don't think I did a burnout at Daytona. I know I didn't do one there because they weren't even racing there when I won. But he got to do one. And it was pretty by knocking his shoulder out by going, yeah. Oh, man, there's shoulder. There's shoulder. Jason Andrew, congratulations. You got the neck burn. Number one, around 14 Supercross. All right, people. All right. It's been a few weeks. But you know what time it is. My favorite part, your favorite part. Hell, all of us favorite part. Stews and stews. But first, we're going to take a little break and we'll get into it. Be right back.
you know, people always ask me, like, you know, why don't you talk about 250 class and, you know, East, West? Sometimes you talk about it. Well, I don't like to discriminate people. Like, you know, 450, talk about it. They all there. Somebody can't be mad that I don't talk about them this week. They all here. You get talked about, that means you've done something to be talking about. Sometimes, like, you know, I don't want to discriminate. I don't want to talk about the East guys and don't talk about the West. I don't want to do this. Like, you know, I ain't that type. I love everybody. Love everybody equally. But this weekend is the East-West shootout. So let's get a little conversation about them and see what they've been up to. I got to give the Lawrence boys, like, credit. They rode good. Jet rode good. Hunter rode good. Obviously, he won. He got neck burned, too. It was another one where it was kind of like what I said the weekend prior, Seattle, that he was just going as fast as he can go. Luckily for him, the fastest he can go was good enough to win. He wasn't the fastest, but he was as fast like El Hombre to get to the finish line first. And I thought if Craig wouldn't have fell over, would he have beat him? I don't know. I don't think the whoop section made up enough difference for Craig to be the fastest. And the Hunter guys, they're really, the Lawrence boys, they're really technical. You know, they do well. The Hondas, all of them look good this weekend. And it was cool to see him win. The East-West shootout, always. I told Davey Coombs on the podcast that usually when this track, when you get the East-West shootout, you always concentrate on the guys that's with the number one plates. You know, for instance, Jet and Craig. There was the fastest one they've been winning. They were winning the title. But it's usually always like the Andrew Shorts that come out, win the race, because they're worried about what they're doing. And Jet was falling over, kind of like, you know, his other teammate did, just fell over. There's a reason for that. It was wet, slippery, fell over. No big deal. And then you always have another guy winning. But I don't think you're going to get that battle that you're looking for, people. Maybe at the last race. I think both of them should have a title wrapped up by then. And maybe if they feel like they want to go put up a shut up, maybe they'll go into it. But then you got Jet defending champion outdoors. I don't know what Christian's doing. I don't know if he's Supercross only, racing outdoors. Cole can fill it in. What is he doing?
450.
He's going 450. So maybe they'll race each other, or they'll be looking forward to, it's always something in this sport. You're always looking for the next weekend because you're only as good as your last race. And if you keep that attitude, you got that attitude, but then you also have championship mode, which is the right move to have. You got people that's like, oh, you should get here and battle. But then if you battle and you do something stupid, they're going to be like, well, why would you battle? You look at the big picture. But then if you look at the big picture, they're like, look at the small picture. You lose. You didn't win this thing. You should have done blah, 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 whatever. You're as good as your last race. Forget all that. Wish I would have forgot it. I know, people. I'm just talking. You know who I was happy to see back that rode probably the best he's had all year? Was Faulkner. I thought after he crashed, you could have stuck a fork in him. But nah, he came back. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked really good. I was happy. He was fast. He had a best heat race ride. He was mandingoing that thing. Whatever that means. Yeah, he looked good. Good to see you back, Austin. Hopefully that correlates until getting in the outdoors. Just get there, baby. Get there. You got the chance. I was happy to see Austin back, what he was doing, because he looked like a guy that, one, like if like the continuation of him can growing, finishing last year, having a good Supercross season, getting a win in this year, and slowly building. When he showed up at this race, the way he rode in that heat race, it looked like a guy that didn't miss a beat. Like that program kept like going. It was going up compared to, okay, you just got hurt. All right, now you got to rebuild. I think a part of that was like what happened at Dallas wasn't his fault. It just happened. And I'm glad to see him have that mindset, because it didn't look like he thought he made a mistake. It looked like, you know what? I got broken up. Stick a fork in me, but I'm coming back and I'm carving y'all up and I'm about to eat this dinner. And he was deboing those guys. Looked more like the Austin in the beginning part, where he was had a little cockiness to him. And that cockiness is going to help him. So hopefully that's transient. Look at him jump past RJ. RJ was like, no, daddy, Ricky, where you at? Hampshire, DD Burns, Dade City throw out. Ooh, Austin, good to see you back. But Hunter, you got the neck burn, bro. You got neck burn. Let's give him for him. Go.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
Yeah, Mike. Your neck was on fire, Mike. Okay. All right. We got to get back into where I was supposed to be at. Stu. Let's get into it.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship.
See the world's elite motocross riders race for the Series Points League.
Are you ready? It's time to bring the action. Let's do it.
Be there to see who wins the round at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, they're going for it.
Holy cow.
I cannot believe what I just saw.
Don't miss Monster Energy Supercross action. Get your tickets today. Coming to Gillette Stadium April 23rd. For tickets and more details, visit supercrosslive.com.
All right, people, we back. You know what time it is. My favorite part, your favorite time, hell, all of us' favorite time, Stews and Stew. So let's get into it, and I'm gonna be honest here, because we keep it authentic, real. It's hard, people. It's hard. I know I said it before, but damn, it's hard this weekend. So we're gonna go with a Stew. And of course, some of them you just default Stews. It's like that Instagram picture when you see that girl, you're like, oh, damn, or even that boy, oh, damn, they look good. And then you really meet them, you start going down, and then you're like, huh. It's like the club. They keep them lights off until they turn it off. Like, whoa! This is what that one is. Like a default. So there you go. A default is the guy that wins. He's got to get a Stew because he was better than everybody else. And that means you are a Stew. Jason Anderson, like, you Stew. Like, there was no violence. Now, hey, I ain't gonna lie. You pulled up. You were threatening. But you kept it in touch. Besides, maybe you told them you're going to shoot them all if they don't change this jump over here, because you ain't having this. I saw you on press day going around it. But Jason Anderson, you first do. In the next one, it's going to give my boy A-Mart. Now, A-Mart, Bob, we've been having a hard time. We've been having a hard time with you, man. You've been flying, getting stumped. You had another one in St. Louis up there. I don't even feel like that was your fault. If you were maybe like 3 inches taller, maybe you would have been able to keep them feet on the pegs. But since you ain't, like, that ain't your fault. That's just genetics. But you a tough dude. You a tough dude. I'm telling you, some people know how to fall and some people don't. But you built right. You just come back. I said it before. You just, it's like somebody built you and just stuffed you, put you in there like that. And when you hit the ground, like, boom, you just get up. Well, you laid there for a little bit. But you flying W. It wasn't even really like a flying W. It was kind of like a M because, you know, I don't know, your legs short. I'm trying to figure out how to make that look. But, hey, you back. So you a Stew for coming back after the rough 2 weekends. I don't know. I guess they moved your body from Seattle. I guess they had the dirt works up there. I mean, Monster Jam, they left you up there for that. They brought you back. They must have left you for St. Louis. And then we had a week off. So you had time to recover. But, hey, Mark, you a Stew. And I don't even know where else to go with this. People. Like, I mean, what? Well, ain't we gonna just get one Stew, two Stews? Three Stews? Hey, for y'all, let's do. Happy Easter. I'm gonna get myself Stew because it was Easter last weekend. It was Easter yesterday, so I was right. You can only be your clocks right twice a day, right? I was right today. So there's my Stews. Default, Jason Anderson, none bussing cap, none violence, even though, you know, he threw out a couple of what's the names. Jason Anderson, A-Mart from recovering after the flying W's and the stomps, Monster Jam, wherever you are, you a Stew, and the other Stew is just all of us. Let's give us all Stew. So that's it for that one. And let's get to the Stew, people. Stews. Now, people pissed off. Pissed off because you're leading the race and you fall over again. Pissed off because the rent. Pissed off because the guy's coughing doing the show. Pissed off for whatever the reason is. Pissed off because you don't have enough people. Stews. So the first one, of course, kind of like Jason Anderson, you gotta have default with Chase Sexton. How you Stew? Now, are you Stew because you fell over? Nah. I've done that a couple times. You can't be Stew like on that. You gotta be Stew because your visor keep falling off. You look like Bullwinkle up there, Bullwinkle, whatever it is, running around there. Maybe it's like cheating. Maybe you got like aerodynamics. Since it is NASCAR and we try to keep it, you know, flowing, is maybe that's what it was set up. So you taking off that, we have to protest you. We have to look into that aerodynamics with no visor on there. So you mad because you were out there bulldozing it, you know, eight balling it. Hey, you still got on the podium though, but you lost and you had no visor on. So you're going to be Stewed. And then second, dirt works. You're going to build this nice track, set it up. All these designs, you got to put all these numbers together, bring all this dirt in there. And you got all these riders in here complaining. Well, the top riders, not even all of them. The you know, privateer guys, they was out there whipping it. They wouldn't complain. They would just have to be here on press day. They were whipping it. Bogle up there coming up short. And he's like, nah, bro, I'm too smooth to be coming up short like this. He's like, nah, y'all got to change it.
He was up there probably, he's about to come out with a rap album on there. So, because Dirt Work's going to be stupid because they have to change the track. And then third, like, I don't know. Like, who? I sound like an owl in here. Who? Was that my phone?
Yes. Mine's on silent. You would be stewed because Why? You can't figure out who to put on the list.
You're right about that, Cole. And number three is me. Why am I stewed? Because I can't get a list that deserves being stewed as stewed. Now you may be like, oh, that's mean, James. That's mean. It ain't mean. I'm doing it for y'all. I keep it authentic. You get on this list, that means you've done something. And of course, I keep these guys to a certain level. They're the best of the best. They're the best. Maybe Jeffrey's going to come over here and show us something different. But right now, they're the best of the best. And like, I can't just put them on here because they're too good. You know, there's certain levels of this on there. So I do it for you guys. When I put you on this list, that means you've done something. So, you know, when we get Squeezy Knees on the list, yeah, he did something. So I'm stewed because I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. And that's for y'all. So one, Chase Sexton, not default. Two, Dirt Works, because you got to change all these numbers again. You got these guys up here complaining about this and that. There was no fight, so you couldn't concentrate on that. And then three is me, all y'all, all the Above Worlds podcast listeners, recap listeners. We got to get up a list. All right, guys, that was it. That was your stews and stews. Hope you enjoyed it. It was tough on me, baby. It was tough, and it's for you guys. I got to keep level up here. I got to keep things just going, popping it up. That's how we do it. Congratulations, Jason Anderson. Congratulations, Hunter Lawrence. Y'all got the both of them got the neck burns on there. Hope you guys had a great Easter. Hope you guys had everything. Great weekend. And that was all from round 14 up at the Dirty South. And I'll see you guys next week in round 15 up in Massachusetts. Just hit them for it one more time, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Next on fire. Till then, see you guys. That's it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.